Welcome to another edition of the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan, and this is Brother Sun.
From far away and distant lands, the tempest tossed with hopeful hearts and calloused hands, reach toward the light, the torch held high, and cast their gaze upon the Lady of the Harbor. And she welcomes them with open arms. She says, "Let my children in. Shine on, shine on, oh you Lady of the Harbor." And so it was with my own kin, they sailed from Sweden and from France and Ireland, their earthly cares packed in their bags. They cast their gaze upon the Lady of the Harbor, and she welcomed them with open arms. She said, "Let my children in. Shine on, shine.
Victor, and I play lap slide guitar and I guess regular guitar, and that's it. I do play electric guitar also, but I probably won't be doing that at the festival.
This is Greg Greenway, and I play guitar and ukulele, and I stand in front of a piano and put my hands on it.
You underestimate your skill, sir.
And so who do we have left?
This is Joe Jenks, and I live in Chicago, ostensibly. And I play bouzouki, large overgrown mandolin, and I also play acoustic guitar. All three of us are singers. We're a trio with essentially three lead singers.
Indeed you are, known for those marvelous harmonies. Tell me about Brother Sun. The three of you are each individual artists in your own right, many solo albums between you. What's the story of Brother Sun? How did the three of you come together?
We, the world we live in is fairly small. So if we're not changing places with each other on Friday or Saturday night, you know, we are at a conference or we're at a festival together, and that's what brings artists together. So we had bumped into each other in various places. Joe had sung on Pat's record, Pat had played on one of mine, and we ended up at a conference in Virginia together, and we decided to sing a couple of songs together in front of a whole bunch of people, and we did, and we just got a great response. And our musician friends came over to us and just said, they reinforced it. They said, "Something special happens when your voices go together, so you should really think about this." So we did. We really thought about it, and it took us a while to clear our schedules and to get it worked out. And what was it, like 2011, we started we started playing for real. We started making our first CD in January 2011.
And so where does the name come from, Brother Son?
There were a lot of reference points that we all had, but one of the more overt ones was St. Francis of Assisi, who wrote a lot about nature and wrote a lot about the natural world, and we all felt a very strong connection to the natural world. And so we tried on a lot of different names, and we tried on Brother Son, and it just seemed to fit. And we tried on other names after, and it didn't make sense. We came back to Brother Son. It was the closest fit to who we are, and, you know, kind of transcends a lot of different genre ideas. You know, we wanted to choose a name that wouldn't sort of pigeonhole us into, you know, the something or other Foot Stompers or the something or other Kaylee band, or we really wanted something that didn't pin us down and allowed us the sort of musical and artistic freedom to be who we are.
I would just add that it captures something about who we are in terms of the optimism of our music, and that, you know, this is the sound of three men singing together, and that's, you know, the name tells people about that.
I'm stranded on this road that goes from sea to sea. 100,000 others are stranded here with me. 100,000 others and 100,000 more. 'Cause I ain't got no home in this world anymore. I ain't got no home. I'm just a rambling round, just a wandering working man. I go from town to town, and the police make it hard wherever I may roam. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. I ain't got no home.
I ain't got no home.
I'm just a rambling round, just a wandering working man. I go from town to town, and the police make it hard wherever I may roam. Got no home in this world anymore. I ain't got no home in this world anymore.
You put out your first self-titled CD as Brother Son in 2011. You followed that with Some Part of the Truth. The second album was extremely well received. Can we compare the two? How does Some Part of the Truth build on the first album? Greg, you want to take a crack at that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, what we were facing when we first came together was a lot of established songwriters come together and essentially do. You know, songwriters in the round. And so we wanted to sort of obliterate that idea, that we wanted to make sure that everyone understood that Brother Son was larger than the sum of its parts. And that was our undertaking. So on our first record, we essentially wanted to demonstrate exactly what we do. So that record is essentially what we do on stage. There's nothing added to it beyond exactly what we do. And, you know, the harmonies are what we sound like. So that's what we were trying to put across when that occurred. And then with your second record, that's always a, you know, dangerous next step, because the opportunity arrives to add additional stuff to it. And that can, you know, totally change the sound and the direction, et cetera. So what we did was we hired somebody that we all three had great admiration for, Ben Wish, who was a Grammy Award-winning producer out of New York City. He had won a Grammy for Mark Cohn's Walking in Memphis record. So, and he had the courage to say to us, essentially, you know, we don't know what this is until we do it. So we tried all kinds of stuff. And he was not afraid to pull faders completely out. So what happened was I think that record shows the breadth of what we do. There's just about everything on that record, from a cappella, you know, to a full band sound. But it still is remarkably us. And, you know, I would say the biggest difference in totality on that record is the bass player, Zev Katz. He's played with all kinds of remarkable groups, most notably Hall & Oates. And he played electric bass, he played fretless, and he played stand-up acoustic bass. And he was phenomenal. And that gave us a bottom that we didn't have before. And then we filled out other things in ways that we just thought were appropriate to what the song sounded like. So honestly, we didn't have a picture before we started what that record was going to sound like. But as we did it and as we added, we would say, nope, that's not it, or that is. You know, it's still a very simple record, you know, in the grand scheme of things. But I think it really captures the songs that are on that record. And it captures our breadth as performers.
How could one dance in sunlight and the toss of your hair make every lost moment, every road to nowhere, make my whole life a straight line leading to you? But that's as true as anything anyone could ever prove. But that's as true as anything anyone could ever prove. Make my whole life a straight line leading to you. But that's as true as anything anyone could ever prove. But that's as true as anything anyone could ever prove.
It sounds like a very self-assured album. There's lots of good, honest working man's music on this album, as well as the environmental theme that you mentioned earlier. Both strong themes in the roots of folk music. Is there a more personal level for that as well for each of you? Pat, you want to first crack at that one?
Yes, certainly. I mean, you know, speaking for myself, it always starts with a personal connection to the music. I mean, that to me is, you know, it starts with self-expression and then, you know, then moves outwards to figure out how to connect with other people. To me, both of those things are important. But, yeah, to me, each of the songs on Some Part of the Truth has some very personal, emotional significance. That's part of what, you know, I think allows all of us to go out and sing these songs night after night. They have to speak to our hearts in that way.
Joe?
You know, the theme of working people and, you know, sort of the common denominator, the common working person, is a theme that resonates very, very deeply with me personally. So in some ways, they're one and the same. The fact that there is this sort of grittier side to that record, as well as what speaks to me personally as an artist. I grew up in essence, a steel mill town, a rust belt town, as we call them, in northern Illinois. And, you know, I would say a lot like Thunder Bay is probably a good comparative town to where I grew up. You know, there was a sense of heaviness and a sense of, like, we don't matter. Like, we are disposable in the grand scheme of the universe. And what spoke to me so deeply in folk music, and part of my kind of personal connection to, you know, folk and blues and Americana and, you know, a lot of these traditions is that they celebrate the labor of people. They celebrate the lives of people who are overlooked by history in so many ways. And so I love the fact that that record captures some of that, you know, for all of us. There's different images that come out in all of the songs that we write and choose to put on that record that you know, very much acknowledge that. And in particular, a song called The House That Jack Built was written by a friend of ours in Seattle and celebrates an old labor hero, a guy named Jack Miller, who started working in the sawmills when he was 12 years old. And by the time he was 17, he was trying to organize against child labor in the sawmills. And it's just really, really powerful, true stories of people who lived, but whose story is inconsequential, as far as the larger arc of political history seems to be concerned, but it's very much our history as a people.
I was going to mention The House That Jack Built, certainly one of the standouts for me on Some Part of the Truth. Sung a cappella, it feels to me all the more powerful because it's sung a cappella. Was that did that play into the decision in terms of how to present that?
I think for my part, we tend to write separately and select songs separately, but then we bring them to a rehearsal or say, hey guys, what do you think of this? I'd love to try this on and see how it fits for us. And I brought that song to the table as one I really wanted to hear us singing. And my vision was very much that it would be a cappella because that captures the spirit of a lot of the work songs and the field songs and the singing traditions of a lot of different cultures where people sing just as part of their daily life and the course of their work.
I've seen you grow up in what seems a few days, and you know more than I knew when I was your age. I went to the sawmill when I was just 12, and I learned how to run all the saws and the lathes. When Wobblies came round, I was first to sign on. We told the old boss that we wanted a raise. He hired his thugs and they rounded us up. We ran through that gantlet and many were slain. I've worked all my life in the fields and the sawmills, built bridges and houses and roads and canals. We stood our ground firmly and organized strikes, and 50 years of working built the working man's rights. Let me tell you one thing, how I earned a good wage. There ain't no arms like folded arms for the working man's pay. There ain't no arms like folded arms for the working man's pay. My name is Jack Miller. I'm an old union man. And you stand right now in the house that Jack built.
And does it feel, maybe it's just me, does it feel as though in this particular instance, this song, I could really feel the emotion? In some cases, you're pushing those voices harder than maybe you would be if you had the instruments behind you.
I think that's true. I think that's very true. I think when we're singing a cappella, we are the instruments as well. And so there's a kind of expressiveness that comes into how we sing certain notes or when we sort of step on the gas pedal in terms of our own performance or pull it back in the dynamics. And there's just something about the three of our voices blended together, singing the story of this person who, I can't even imagine being 12 years old and put to work in a sawmill and, you know, no hope of advancing educationally beyond that within sight, knowing that this is now your lot in life. And to have that predetermined for you by the time you're 12, You know, just seems like a really, I think there's a weight that is expressed in our voices.
If I could just add something.
By all means.
This is Pat. You know, to me, part of the emotional resonance of the song is that, this is going to sound a little crazy, but it strikes me the same way a lot of blues songs do, that the lyrics can be rather dark, but the music, the sound of the music itself is uplifting. And so it's a song about working people working together. And the, you know, in some ways, the sound of us singing this song together, the power of our voices being raised together, it shows people what people can do when they work together in that way. We are, you know, you can sing about a union and working, being, you know, being one, working in one voice. But when you show that, it has a special, I think, you know, emotional resonance. And to me, that's the joyfulness. I know it's not a sort of happy song, but there's something very joyous about it, singing it every night, because the sheer sound of our voices together is marvelous. It's marvelous to stand on stage and hear it, and I think the audience really feels it too.
Let's turn back to Some Part of the Truth, Brother Sun's second album. Where did the name come from? I hear a strong social consciousness throughout, as we've been discussing it, with influence as well. But Some Part of the Truth, where does the name come from there? Joe?
The line is actually a line out of one of the songs that Greg wrote for the record, called Jericho Road. And as we were wrestling with what we wanted to call the record, we stumbled on that line and felt like it encapsulated, you know, a lot of different aspects of the record musically and lyrically. But it harkens to a story that Mohandas Gandhi used to tell about the struggle of human interaction. And he told the story of several blind men coming upon an elephant. And each one, you know, one touches the trunk and describes, one touches the tusk, one touches the tail, one touches the side or the foot. And each describe, you know, what they are experiencing. And it's so different that they can't believe that they're all connected to the same thing. And the lesson in it, that everybody has some perspective on the truth, but it's incomplete. And when we corroborate, when we work together in some collective or collaborative process, we bring together different aspects of the truth to form a more full picture of what's going on. And so it's inclusive not just of sort of philosophical or lyrical ideas, but also of the spirit of our work together as musicians.
To say that each of you is contributing some part of the truth is, I think that's wonderful. It's a great album title. That was from your song, Greg.
Yes, it was from Jericho Road, and it was influenced. The song is sort of like, it was kind of a mental discussion I had between Gandhi and Martin Luther King. So Gandhi's the whole idea of satyagraha, of love power, of truth power, and King's persistent use of the story of Jericho Road as being the road of trouble, of pain, the crooked road, you know, the wrong road. And I tried to bring that into a modern setting. So it's sort of like seeing the South Bronx at night, as, you know, as Jericho Road, where we all meet as strangers. And it seems like that the world conspires to keep us strangers, because it keeps us pitted against each other. So the idea, the culminating line of it is from King, when he said that hate is too heavy a burden to carry. So the way I just changed that around a little bit to make it more singable, and that hate is too great a weight to bear.
'Cause hate is too great a weight to bear. In the darkness, on shattered pavement, the better angels fade. Blurred in slumber, murder by numbers, do
We've heard music described as therapeutic, not only for those who hear it, but also for those who play it. And obviously there's a difference when you're a solo act and you're out on the road. Do you find, as brother son, that that you are, in some senses, all therapy for each other?
We're the cause for and the therapy.
Well, and I was thinking of that particularly in terms of you deal with some heavy issues. I mean, we all deal with some issues personally, but also your music is your expression of how you deal with such as race relations and environmental concerns and so forth. So each of you is bringing something to this. To this group, but it's also, is it safe to say, it's also a little bit of therapy for the others?
I'll sort of say my piece on that, I guess. This is Pat. I mean, I couldn't think of two more intelligent and big-hearted and generous people to make music with. And I think, is important to all three of us, that we not only respect each other's musicianship, but that we have respect for the humanity and decency and intelligence that each other brings to the table. And so we have a lot of discussions about not just the mechanics of working together and the interpersonal stuff of working together, but also just about what's on our minds, how we think about the world, what matters to us. We're an interesting group of people to sit around the dinner table with, because the discussion can go anywhere. I think that's part of the joy of working in this group. It can present challenges at times, because we're a group with no leaders. We're a group with three leaders, depending on how you think about it. And so everything is, there's a lot of negotiation and compromise and figuring things out together. That presents its own challenges. But, speaking for myself, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Now, we mentioned on some part of the truth, we mentioned the house that Jack built. Another one that really stood out for me is Everybody's Crying Mercy. Who wants to take that one on? Tell me about that one.
I was thinking I would take a second on that, just because I'm just Pat here, because I brought the song to the table. It's a song by Mose Allison, and he originally did it on piano. And I loved the message on it, which is, it's a little sardonic. I mean, Brother Son is a fairly earnest band in some ways, and I thought the message was maybe a little more sardonic than our usual thing. But what I feel proud of is that we put it in a musical setting that, makes the presentation of it a little less sardonic and a little bit more open-hearted. We rearranged the chords, we added vocal harmonies, which the original didn't. It's a vastly different presentation than Mose Allison's original, but it still feels faithful to the song. And so I think that's a proud moment for all three of us to sing that.
Yeah. This is Joe. I'd love to add something, because anytime one of us brings a song to the table, all three of us have to resonate with it on some level, or it isn't really a brother-son song. And for me, part of what I resonated with around that song is that Mose Allison wrote that in 1968, and I don't know exactly when in 1968, but I sort of imagine probably in the wake of the Democratic Convention in Chicago that erupted in tremendous violence as people were advocating for change in policy and platform. And, he captured something of hypocrisy in those lyrics that is just so amazing to me and is still so relevant today. When you look at the peace movement and the civil rights movement and what was going on in Vietnam and all of these struggles that the United States and Canada were completely embroiled in the midst of all of that, Mose Allison creates that song that just is this poking at the side of society. I love that. I think it's a very courageous song, and even more so considering when it was written.
can't believe the things I'm seeing. I thought about some things I heard. Everybody's crying mercy when they don't know the meaning of the word. It's a bad enough situation. It's sure enough getting worse. Everybody's crying justice, just as long as it's business first. Toe-to-toe, touch and go. Give a cheer, get your souvenir. Everybody's running round in circles, don't know what they're headed for. Everybody's crying peace on earth just as soon as we win this war.
It's a great album. There are many tracks on here that are quite, that really reach out and grab me. Are there others in particular we'd like to focus on? A favorite, something that's really resonated with the audience, or something like that. I leave that up to you three.
Well, Joe, you should talk about Lady of the Harbor. That's just a gorgeous song.
Well, you should talk about Lady of the Harbor, Greg. I'll talk about There's Enough Love. That sounds good.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, the beauty of singing in this group is, and I actually said this on stage last night, is that we, you know, not only do we get to sing our songs, but we get to stand and next to incredibly talented people and watch them pour their heart out, you know, and be brilliant, you know, and it's really moving. And it, you know, it makes you want to do your best. But Lady of the Harbor, that was the number one most played song on folk radio for 2013. That's a song that, you know, Joe wrote about his family basically immigrating to the United States. And it's a powerful story because, you know, unless we were First Nation people, you know, we all came here by hook or by crook and to this continent. So everyone has this story in the back of their mind, and it's an experience that that is universal to us on this continent. And so Joe does a beautiful job of asking the question. He poses the question about, okay, we all want to respect what happened, you know, around the 1900s, and as people came then, when the Western Europeans, the Eastern Europeans came to this country. But now we're all embroiled in a dispute about, you know, about Latinos coming into this country, people from, you know, of color coming into this country. And so Joe does a beautiful job, without pointing fingers at anyone, of holding these things up, you know. And the last verse is just absolutely beautiful. Will we fall into our fear and turn our backs upon the Lady of the Harbor? Now that's just beautifully done. In the way that it holds up something that almost sounds patriotic when we sing it, but it's got that beautiful little twist to it where it says, okay, yeah, we have no problem celebrating the immigration of white Europeans, but what's going on now? Has something suddenly changed? Is there a zero-sum gain? Is the continent totally covered? We don't have room for anybody? These are the questions. And it doesn't make people, and we play this for all kinds of political views, and it just puts a human face and a human emotion on a problem. And I can't think of a better way of doing that. And it's just a beautifully composed song and was rewarded by being the most played song in 2013 on folk radio.
And how important to be able to do that without laying blame.
Yeah, the second you point a finger at somebody, all you get is their defense. But you need to open their heart You need to open their eyes and open their hearts, and their hearts will open their eyes. So I just think that that's a beautifully done piece of social commentary.
I heard someone else trying to jump in there.
Yeah, this is Pat. I was just going to add, when we first started rehearsing the song, I couldn't sing it because I just got choked up every time we tried to sing it. And the song really speaks to me so strongly. I feel incredibly patriotic singing the song. And, you know, that's a very unusual feeling for me. I've really struggled my whole life with, you know, what my relationship to my country would be. And that song is one of the special songs that gives me a point of connection to say, I am a patriot. This is the kind of country I want to live in, a country that lives up to her ideals. And the song really invites us to, you know, to look at that and to take that into our hearts. It's a great song. I'm proud to sing it every night.
Will the dream survive the strain? Will huddled masses have a chance to learn its sweet refrain? Or will we fall into our fears and turn our backs against the lady of the harbor? And she welcomes them with open arms. She says, let my children here shine on, shine on, oh, you lady of the harbor. Shine on, shine on, oh, you lady of the harbor. Shine on, shine.
This is Joe. I was going to talk about There Is Enough Love, which is a song that Greg wrote, and he plays on ukulele, which is such an unassuming little instrument. and yet it carries the weight of the world in that song. And, you know, this so much of what we do does have commentary or does have weight or import to it on a societal level in one form or another. But I think all of us are very, very personal songwriters as well. That song just captures something very powerfully for me that really is the flip side of the coin. It's a song that is about someone in a place of tremendous difficulty and struggle and, you know, integrating a lot of difficult experiences. And the repeating theme is there's enough love in this world to wash away all of the struggle, all of the sadness, all of the pain, all of the hurt. And that contradiction, there's enough, I think is really important and an important message in the world, because we get so wrapped up in the frenetic pursuit of, you know, one thing or another. And to take a deep breath and say, there's enough. There's enough love to go around. And I think maybe for me, as the youngest of seven children, that message just resonates particularly deeply, because by the time I came along, there wasn't much of anything left. <You know? laughs> And, so the idea, it's such a contradiction to the fear that we carry with us, I think all of us on some level. It's just to sing every night and reaffirm there is enough. There's enough love. There's enough hope. There's enough of what we need to live our lives with the gentle integrity that we try to manifest.
You may not be able to see it from where you are, but let me remind you, you are so close. You've come so far.
got a very busy summer ahead of you, which will bring you to, of course, the Vancouver Island Music Fest. Has Brother Sun been out this way before?
Not all the way to Vancouver Island.
No, we've toured in Alberta a few times. I have a personal history out in Vancouver and on Vancouver Island in my solo career. But this is the first time that the trio has made it out there, and I'm really excited that that's happening.
Was there something specific that drew you to the Vancouver Island Music Fest?
Yes, absolutely. The artistic director, Doug Cox, invited us, and we all love Doug, and he's an extraordinary musician and a really stand-up guy. And so when he approached us and said, we'd really like to have you at this festival, it was a no-brainer. I mean, we would probably do anything Doug asked us to do, and the fact that he asked us to play at a really beautiful festival is just a bonus.
And the fact that Lyle Lovett's going to be playing at it didn't hurt either. I'm Mr. Lovett to me, excuse me.
Well, it sounds like you guys have a busy summer ahead and then busy times after that in terms of creating and getting back into the studio. I wish you many happy trails and looking forward to seeing you in July.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you so much. We are so looking forward to this.
Yeah. Early morning, April 4th. Shots rang out in the Memphis sky. Free at last, they took your life. They could not take your pride. In the name of love, one more. In the name of love, in the name of love, one more. In the name of love. Whoa, 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 whoa. Stories live and breathe, and we will never lack for heroes in our darkest hour of need. In the name of love, in the name of love, one.
The Heavenly Harmonies of Brother Sun, destined to be among the folk highlights of this year's Vancouver Island Music Fest. My thanks to Greg, Pat, and Joe for a wide-ranging, thought-provoking conversation that could have gone on for hours and would still be only scratching the surface. That wraps up another Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. Thanks for listening. And thanks to Juno winner Helen Austin and Grandpa Todd Butler for taking us home.
We can sit together and watch the show. Oh, in any weather, we'll watch the show here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest.